Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. And I will include verse 11 of our reading as well. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lets them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Easter people, he has made us, and Easter people have a good pastor. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's a chance for us to just celebrate the good news that there is such a thing as a good pastor that actually can take care of us. A good shepherd who knows what's going on in our lives and has declared that he is the one who can take care of us. Not that that's necessarily easy to believe. Because you and I can be battered and smashed by all kinds of things in our life out there and in our life here. We can face all kinds of difficult things. And yet Jesus wants us to know that he is our good shepherd and that Easter people have one. You know, this reading today from John's Gospel, chapter 10, is very, very significant. God actually uses a number of different images to help us understand our relationship with him in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And, you know, for instance, God likes to give us the image of being married to him. So it's a husband and wife relationship. God likes to give us the image of being children and he our father, even in the Old Testament. God gives us the image of our relationship with him in things like a vineyard. One of God's favorite images of reflecting our relationship with him in the Old Testament is a vineyard. And it's interesting all the different ways he wants us to understand the rich relationship that we have with him. And there's even agricultural ones like sheep and shepherd. And that's what we focus on today. It's fascinating. It's John chapter 10. It's as if Jesus brings it all together. The challenge with the image of shepherd is God also used it very much in the Old Testament to point out the failure of those who were to care for God's people. You see, shepherds were also kings, taking care of God's people, not just real shepherds taking care of real sheep. And the prophets and the priests were to be shepherds of God's people. And yet in the Old Testament, there are occasions where God strikes out with very angry words against those who are abusing the sheep, who are mistreating the sheep, who are leading the sheep astray. And at one point in the Old Testament history of the church, God finally says through Ezekiel, "Woe to all you shepherds! I'm coming to be the shepherd, and I will gather all the sheep that you have scattered and that you have hurt, and I will bring them in, and I will be their shepherd. So a wonderful truth is being fulfilled in John chapter 10 when Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd. It's fascinating. He's calling himself the good pastor. And it's interesting, this was pointed to in David's day, when David, who as shepherd king was to take care of all of God's people, was before that a shepherd boy taking care of literal sheep. And so it's really no wonder that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David would look to the Lord and understand that the Lord is his shepherd. And so David wrote out our Savior's ministry description in Psalm 23. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm the guy that's going to do it. I'm the good shepherd. Why in the world is he saying this in John chapter 10? Because in John chapter 11, he sees how one of his precious sheep is abused by the religious elite and the ruling class of the day. It starts out rather tragic in John chapter 9. The disciples and Jesus are walking about, and the disciples see a man who's blind, and then they ask a very sad question. They say, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned that this man would be born blind? His parents? Or did he sin? I mean, what a sad, tragic viewpoint of malady and physical limitation and handicap. And of course, Jesus says it's not that this man or his parents sinned, it's that God would be glorified. I mean, what a way to look at your own physical maladies, that God is going to be glorified in our handicaps. That's good news. The sad thing about all of this is, so Jesus heals him, and all hell breaks loose. The religious elite of the day make it hard on him, make it hard on Jesus, make it hard on his parents. And across that chapter, we're seeing sheep butting into other sheep, mistreating them, abusing them, and not taking advantage of the good news that there is a good shepherd there. So no wonder at the end of chapter 9, at the beginning of chapter 10, we see how Jesus has to make it a point and to declare that he is the shepherd. I mean, he's mixing metaphors here. He calls himself a door, and no one is saved but through him. That's true. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us and making us have a passage into your family. But then he's also the good shepherd that takes care of the sheep. But sheep? Really? Sheep? I mean, I don't know. When I think about the animal kingdom, I'd like to think of us as being a beautiful elk herd in the Rocky Mountain region. Something nice and noble or a school of bass in Lake Levan, something like that. But sheep? Really? Have you been around sheep? I mean, they're pushy. They're dirty. They've got some interesting disease that I'm not going to go into with you. I mean, they're really something. And yet God, one of his favorite ways of thinking of his relationship with us is that of shepherd and sheep. Sheep, yeah. Because sheep are pretty helpless. They nibble their way into all kinds of trouble just to feed their bellies. You know, they don't realize what's out there to get them. How many ways are you and I clueless about the evil that's roaming about in our day and our time? And we're just thinking everything's fine. I mean, sheep, really? Absolutely. Sheep are at the bottom of the food chain. My daughter has a Netherland Dwarf and a Holland Lop, and boy, they are at the bottoms of the food chain. I mean, you grab a hold of them, they're fighting for their life, and you set them down, they're hiding for their life. And I mean, they're always just alarmed because they know they're going to die because they can't hardly defend themselves from anything except for thump with their paw. Sheep. Pretty pathetic creatures. And that's what you and I are. But this isn't just so that we start self-deprecating and thinking that we're losers. Jesus wants us to understand the beauty of it, because he is our shepherd and claims us as his own. And he doesn't see it as a dirty job at all. He loves to do this. He wants to do this. He wants to care for us. And so it's actually a very beautiful picture. And yet he also wants us to take heart and understand the threat that we are facing. And certainly that was part of John chapter 9. And Jesus right off the bat talks about how there are different ways to get to the sheep that thief and robbers try to get to the sheep by. And that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, Satan is found 18 times in the Old Testament and 35 times in the New Testament. It's like it's all heating up because God in flesh and blood is on the scene. If he can get rid of Jesus, he really has it all to himself. And it's interesting to see how he shows up, you know, with regard to Job, an antediluvian, I think he was before the flood, patriarch of the Old Testament, and then David in the counting of the people. And in Zechariah's day, where we see the priest all filthy and being accused by the devil, it's fascinating. In all of these three occasions in the Old Testament, there are different things going on. You know, we're seeing how, you know, leadership in the church can be threatened by the devil, and how council leadership, legal leadership can be threatened in the church, and how individuals can lose so much by the devil messing with them. I mean, how much of what's going on right now in this pandemic is nothing but the devil seeking whom he may devour as he kills, steals, and destroys, as he tries to wreck as much as he can before his day of judgment forever is sealed forever. You know, and you know, even in the church, Zechariah sees Joshua being examined, and he's filthy, and he's being challenged by the devil. You know, the devil doesn't have to close down churches. All he has to do is close down the council. All he has to do is take out the pastors. And then the church is lost and straying and not knowing what to do with its life. And even in our personal lives, the devil can accuse us. He's actually called the accuser of the brethren. You know, it's a dangerous world out there. And certainly, you know, the devil would like to take credit for all of it, but the devil is in the details. So is our sinful nature that wants to go along with him oftentimes. And so even if we're not that aware of the peril, who is keenly aware of the dangers that beset us and befall us? Our good shepherd, Jesus. How many ways have you and I been delivered from evil and we're not even the wiser for it? He just does his job as our good shepherd. That's good news. And you know, this opponent, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he's actually been called a lot of things in this Bible of ours. And I want us to understand who's out there and who's in the details of your life. He's called by Jesus in John chapter 12, the ruler of this world. Now that's a pretty sobering thing to consider. Does that make you want to follow a little closer to Jesus as a sheep? Can you say, bah, if the rule of the world can be that big and powerful? He's also called the God of this world by the Apostle Paul. I mean, the God of this world, Paul says, has blinded the hearts and the minds of the unbelievers. So if he's already blinded them, who does he want to blind next? You want to stay close to Jesus? Can you say, bah? I'm not very good at it. If Max was here, he could really knock it out of the park. But yeah, I mean, we need to stay close to the one who says, follow me. I am the one. And his voice is so different than all the other voices of this world. Even now, you and I are being bombarded by voices. Listen for the voice of Jesus. Heed his voice and follow him through these challenging times. You know, he's not only called that, but Jesus calls the devil the ruler of demons. Of demons. You know, how many ways do the demons get into the details of your life and mine? In the New Testament, oftentimes the demons and demon possession is associated with physical malady. But how many demons are in fear and anger or regret and resentment? What kind of spiritual forces are behind bitterness? What kind of spiritual forces are in fear and despair? How many demons are swirling around through the coronavirus trying to wreck people's lives. And perhaps hearing that, you see the importance of staying close to Jesus. I mean, we heard an interesting thing in our first reading. It came right off the bat. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and prayer. Gosh, I've been missing the opportunities to get together and just sing together, think about the Word of God together. I mean, we've been able to maintain some of that to some degree, which has been nice. I have friends that haven't even been able to do that in the congregations they serve. But we really need to be about the apostles' doctrine, learning and searching the Scripture, understanding what's being said, and to fellowship with one another. In our Bible study today, I spent some time talking about what it means to submit to one another and what it means for the younger people to submit to the older people, to talk about stuff, to learn about stuff. And as we submit to each other, humbling ourselves, because then people get to see who we really are and what we're really struggling with, go figure. But in doing that, we're actually blessed, because God resists the proud. He resists the proud. He resists the ones that want to keep it all hidden. And He gives grace to the humble, the ones who say, yeah, I'm a mess, I'm a filthy, dirty sheep, and I nibble into the wrong places, and I get stuck here, and the devil almost took my earlobe off there. And it's in those ways that we stay close to our shepherd Jesus. The devil has other names. He's called Lucifer, Isaiah 14, the serpent of old, in Revelation 12, which takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? Who with his lying and deceiving, duped the human race that relinquished its rightful place in God's creation and had to face the curse of God that could only be reversed in Christ. He's called the great dragon, the red dragon, in Revelation 12. I mean, we have some very challenging things to face in our day and our time. And even if we're oftentimes not aware of that which is seeking to devour us, the Leucon in John chapter 10, the wolf or the coyote, Jesus, our good shepherd, He understands how vulnerable we are. And He has declared that He is our good shepherd. The devil's called the destroyer, the evil one in John 17, the tempter in John 14, and the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12. He's called the liar and the deceiver and the murderer in John 10. And that's what we're up against. And that's why perhaps in your life right now, a lot of things are hurting, because a lot of things aren't making sense. Because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5. And yet we have a good shepherd. So one comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came. These are the words of our good shepherd. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It's powerful. Let's work on some grammar here. So, you know, Jesus calls himself the good pastor. We get the word pastor from the Latin, that means shepherd. And here he's the noun. In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus is really the only noun pastor. Now, what I'm to do is to be shepherding. I'm a verb. I'm to do the verb of shepherding. And there's one place in the New Testament where I am called a noun. It's in Ephesians 4:11 that God gave some to be pastors and teachers. There I am a noun, but my work is about shepherding. I'm a verb, and Jesus is the noun. And it's fascinating here in John chapter 10 how Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5, Peter calls him the chief shepherd. And in John,
Jesus says a lot of powerful things. Ego eimi in the Greek. I am. I am. I am. And in every one of these things, we are getting a picture of our identity. And take to heart that these are some of God's favorite ways of thinking about us too. And a little more grammar, these are present verbs, and they're active, and they're indicative. So those are really cool things to have when they're associated with Jesus. I am, I am, I am. So too, all the evil that is and about our time, all the things that are threatening us with various things that can hurt us, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He can handle it. But think about some of the other ways that he explains who and what he is. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's the one who can actually give us life. Right now, perhaps you're feeling like some of your life is being pulled from you. You're feeling worn out. You're feeling spiritually, angry or afraid or feeling overwhelmed. Those are signs of spiritual hunger, okay? Spiritual hunger. When you're feeling worried or fearful, you need nothing less than the bread of life. Lord Jesus, feed me. I'm starving to death here with my fears or my anger or my shame or my guilt or just the pain of it all. Feed me the bread of life. I am, Jesus says, active indicative. He's the food we need. In my favorite Easter hymn, Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands, in one of the stanzas it says, He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. So when you find yourself struggling and suffering, stop and say, Lord Jesus, you're my bread of life. Feed me. I'm starving to death here. Feed me. I'm struggling with fear. Feed me. I'm struggling with anger. Feed me. I'm struggling with bitterness. And trust that He will, because He's your good shepherd. In John chapter 8, He says, I am the light of the world. That's active, and that's what He is. That's what He is right now. We're living in the light of His empty cross and empty grave. We're living in the light of His grace. Be sunbathed in it in this day and this time as we go through these challenging issues. My wife and I had to replace one of our air conditioning units for part of our house. And they actually had a UV, ultraviolet, something or other, doohickey mabob. And, it cost more money than we wanted to spend. But it was fascinating, the things that they're doing now, even with HVAC systems, so that you can actually purify your air of any viruses that might be airborne. I'm thinking, wow, that's really cool. Just think what the light of the world is doing in terms of all the spiritual viruses that mark our lives, all the ways that we can corrupt ourselves with all of our spiritual maladies. Think about it. And Jesus is the one who can purify us and cleanse us. Jesus says in John chapter 10, he calls himself a gate, mixing his metaphors. Then he calls himself the good shepherd in John chapter 10. So, Lord, make a way. You're the door. Show me the way through this and shepherd me and lead and guide me and hold me, Jesus, like the children's message today. In John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he is. And that's what he always will be. And that's really amazing because we will participate in who and what he is because we are connected to him. And John chapter 14 says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Think about that. He is the way through this pandemic for us all. He's the way through the challenges that you're facing. The challenges that have been thrown on you, the challenges that you decided to do and you said, this isn't a very good idea, Lord, forgive me. The things that have been just out of the blue and didn't even see it coming. He's the way through it. The truth also that we need in this time. I am so conflicted by all the things I'm hearing. Listen to the science. I've concluded today that the science is inconclusive. Good heavens, how many ways have people used science to defend certain things only to find yourself saying, wait a second, what's that about? So will the real science finally speak? And, you know, it will. But usually real science speaks in time. And we'll figure it out after we've figured out what's going on, after we've built some herd immunity and whatnot. In the meantime, we just need to keep trusting the Lord. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I think we should just quarantine media for like 30 days. But then I realize that's the cynicism I need the bread of life to feed me with, because, boy, am I cynical. Lord, forgive me and give me the bread of life so that I can have life. I mean, he comes to give us life and have it more abundantly, including now, this day, this time, right now, in the late morning of May 3rd. He really wants us to have abundant life, not 5 years down the road, but now. And we do it through faith in him, trusting that he is the truth that we need, and that he will help us vet all the crazy voices that we are being bombarded with, and the life, and the life, and the life. And that's now. He's it right now. And then finally in John 14, he says, I am the vine. And again, that's one of God's favorite illustrations of his relationship with us, and how he sees the church as a vineyard, and how Jesus is the center of it, and we are all connected to him. And this is the truth. And all this helps us understand what it means to be connected to Jesus, our good shepherd, and how he has come to give us life, and how we are in and under his care. And, you know, there's a passage. I mean, this is one of those Sundays where you just wish you could open up John chapter 10 and just go through the whole thing. But in John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, Jesus says this. How does it start? I'm the good shepherd, my sheep. Gosh. Well, John chapter 10. Oh, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hands. I give them eternal life. My sheep listen to my voice. You know, his voice is unlike any other. I mean, he's not afraid to scold us, only not to leave us scolded, but to forgive us and to make our hearts burn with desire. He speaks to us words of grace and forgiveness. He leads us through all kinds of things. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. He really knows who you are. He really does. I know them. But he still loves us. And he knows what we need. He knows what we're going through. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And no one can snatch them out of my hands. The implication with those verses is this. That there will be plenty who will try to snatch us out of his hands. But we're in his hands. He's holding us. And he will see us through whatever we're going through. You know, when I used to do the laundry a lot when the kids were little, I couldn't believe all the stuff came out of the wash, because, you know, they'd find things and they'd pick it up and they'd put it in their pockets. And where did it come out? In the wash. And, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting to find some of the things I found. But guess who doesn't put us in his pocket so he forgets about us, so that we come out in the wash in heaven? You know, Jesus always holds us in his hands. What does that mean? It means that we're always valuable. He's caring for us, he's watching over us, and that he's giving us real life. So here's the challenge today. These are weird times. We're facing a lot of weird things. I mean, we're beginning to wonder, as we go through all the hyper-focus on the virus, you know, what kind of economic pandemic is coming? What kind of a panic pandemic? What kind of a fear of the future pandemic is coming? What's all going to unfold as we start realizing what we've been through in this catastrophe? Unlike a tornado sweeping through a town in Texas, you know, you can see it. Something much larger than a tornado has ripped through this world. And you know, so where are we going to need to stay close to Jesus and talk with Jesus? You know, give the intense challenges of today, of where you're at, give these intense things where you're finding yourself feeling like, I feel lost, give them to Jesus and see what he'll do. Give them to him and ask him, Lord, what do I do with this? How do I see my abundant life in this? Oh my goodness, I'm asking a lot, but don't settle for anything less. Because to give up certainly isn't the abundant life. To give in certainly isn't the abundant life. To drag through saying, this is the way the cookie crumbles, is not the abundant life. And that's not what Jesus says. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The one who hung on the cross and rose from the grave. The one who lives eternally to save. The one who is your shepherd and mine, good pastor and mine, will and has promised to take care of us. And perhaps we're getting closer to the Lord these days as we go through this. Praise the Lord. You know, Peter said, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's another interesting term. The one who's looking over every aspect of your life can take care of your life. He's your good pastor. Can you say, bah? I can't do that. Bah. Easter people, have a good pastor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And all of God's people say, amen.